Jesus, we love you and we thank you and we give you glory today. We thank you for all your goodness in this house and for your presence. And we thank you that you're a faithful God. You're a loving God. And we thank you, God, for the Thanksgiving season. But we just pray, God, that we would be a grateful people all year long. That we would be a thankful people all year long, Lord. No matter what is facing us, no matter what's going on in our life, that we would be grateful and thankful in all seasons for everything that you have given us, Lord Jesus. You're so good. You're so faithful. You're so awesome. And we love you, wonderful God. We worship you, Father. And God, we just ask that you would be with us today. And I pray your grace and love and anointing and mercy on this service, Lord Jesus, and that you would just touch our hearts and speak to us in a new way, God. We thank you and we praise you. And everybody said, amen. Awesome. So if you have your Bible, you could turn into Matthew chapter 25. If you have your iPhone, you can dial that in. If you have whatever you have, just flip over there. And as you're turning there, I'm going to read a scripture that we read, that we've been reading the last couple weeks. And that's out of John chapter 10. And the last, just real quick, my mother and father-in-law here, woo-woo. Love them, they're amazing, godsend. but the last couple weeks we've been talking about the Good Shepherd. And I just love this topic, I love this theme of the Good Shepherd. And we talked about in the first week how the shepherd would anoint his sheep, and he would have to grab the sheep and he would anoint the sheep, and as he would anoint the sheep, it would protect them, it would heal them, it would help them to not, when they would bump into each other, they would kind of slide off each other, right? Talk about how the shepherd would prepare the ground. But this week, I just want to talk about something a little bit different. So but first in John chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. Say amen. In Psalm 95, I'm going to read this out of the, I was going to read it out of the Passion, but I'm just going to read it out of the New King James. Psalm 95. Verse 7. It says, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. And I just love this idea of us being God's sheep, and God being our good and faithful shepherd, that literally the Lord is really the only one that knows how to shepherd your heart and to shepherd my heart. He's really the only one that knows how to take care of our hearts. And he's a good, good father. He's a good, good shepherd. And he knows how to protect us. He knows how to heal us. He knows how to prepare the land for you and to prepare you for what's coming. And he's just good. He's faithful. He kicks out the wolves. He separates the sheep and the goats. He's good and he's faithful. Amen. But as I was just studying this and kind of reading this, I couldn't get away from a very famous portion of scripture. And that's in Matthew 25. And that's where I kind of want to hang out just for a few minutes here. And in Matthew 25, we know this, and this is Jesus speaking, and he says in verse 31, he says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared before you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Amen. Then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Ouch. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. I was naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick and in prison, and we did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say, inasmuch as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it unto me. Wow. That's pretty heavy. But it's powerful, and it's the truth. And as I was reading this, the Lord really kind of began to speak something. And I was reminded of another scripture, you know, where it says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. And these two scriptures kind of came alive to me. And I felt like the Lord was saying, if you will take care of my heart, I will take care of your house. If you will take care of my heart, his heart, I'll take care of your house. I'll take care of your needs, your physical needs, your emotional needs, your family needs. I will take care of you when you take care of what's on his heart. And I said, Lord, well, what's on your heart? And it's very clear in Scripture what's on God's heart. And first and foremost, what's on God's heart is us, the bride. God is crazy about his bride. He loves his church. He loves that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. He loves that the church is his answer to a dying and sick world. You know, that we get to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And he loves it when we collectively come together in unity and worship his holy name. God loves his bride. He loves his church. His heart is here today. His heart is across the world as people worship him and love him. That's where his heart is. But even more so, we see, especially from Matthew 25, that his heart is out there. His heart is not with the 99 good, perfectly healthy, you know, combed over hair, wool. You know, his heart is with the one that's lost and wandering in the mountains and doesn't know how to get back. The one that's sick, the one that's in jail, the one that's in prison, the one that is in the nursing home that doesn't have anybody to visit them anymore. That's where the Father's heart is. And I just saw this picture as I was just praying. I saw this picture of many, many, many Christians going to like an awesome buffet. How many love a good buffet? You know, you go to like a place in Nevada or something and you just all you can eat buffets. And it's like you could just eat for days. And this is so good. You can like get prime rib and pizza. It's like baked potato and whatever you want. You just throw in a salad and you just keep going, and you're like, oh, now there's dessert, and like, just it's kind of like Thanksgiving, and you just keep going and going, and I just saw this picture that's kind of how a lot of churches and Christians have become. That we've lined up for our all-you-can-eat buffet line, and we've stacked our plate, and then we go back for more, and we go back for more, and we go, and we're just sitting there. And now we have so much spiritual teaching, and we have so much spiritual understanding, and we have so much revelation, and we're so full, and we're so spiritually fat, while yet people are dying and sick and malnourished out there. And I just feel like we're coming back into a time when the Lord is asking Church on the Mountain and many churches across the world to be his hands and feet again. To be Jesus in action to a dying world. To be an encourager for the teenage girl that's just depressed and wanting to kill herself. Because it's happening, right? In Mammoth High School and Bishop High School, There's kids that want to kill themselves. For the little boy that doesn't have a dad, can we step into their situation for a minute and put our arm around them and be like a mentor to them and be Jesus to them in that particular situation? You know, sometimes we're like, well, I'm not called to the mission field. I'm not called to wherever, you know, but it's right here. It's right here. There's dying people in the loony bean. There's sick and hurting people just because we walk into the Vons and we're all like, hey, how you doing? You know, I'm happy. Are you happy? Good. We're all happy, you know, and then we just leave. But really, there's people that are broken and hurting and need a friend. You know, and in the jails, he said, when you visited me in the jails, well, if you were in jail, Jesus, I would have come. I definitely would have gone if I knew you were in jail. He's like, I was there. I was there because when we visit those that are broken, when we visit those that are hurting, we're visiting him. When we clothe the naked, religion gets kind of a bad name. You're like, oh, you're religious, right? Religious. They're Pharisees. They're religious. But I love what the Bible says, that there's pure religion. Yeah. And pure religion is to take care of widows and orphans. Yeah, and so there's religious behavior and there's Pharisee behavior, but then there's pure religion where we're actually just doing the heart of the Father and we're touching and bringing hope to a dying world. And that's the whole point of these bags. We want to do these bags because we want to be the light. We want to shine Jesus' light so bright over the holidays, but 12 months of the year. And that's the reason why we want to mobilize and send teams to paradise, you know. And that's really the DNA in the heart of Church of the Mountain. Whenever there was disaster, you know, Matt knows this and different ones, you know, we sent people to Asia immediately. When Hurricane Katrina hit, boom, there's a team, you know, and churches across the country are sending teams. But just because we're smaller, we're not a mega church, doesn't mean we can't participate. Right. And doesn't mean that we don't have something to offer, because we do. There's amazing people in this community, and you have a lot of gifts and you have a lot of talents and abilities to bring to the table. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we have the answer as the church, and so we need to take care of his heart. We need to take care of his heart, and the Lord will take care of your house. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Hallelujah. But as I begin to just read this more, I'm reading this Matthew 25, and you know, I'm reading about the sheep, and I'm reading about the goats, and I just kind of ask myself, well, Lord, why do the goats get such a the shaft? You know, like, why what's up with that, Lord? You know, like, why are they so bad in your eyes? You know, because, you know, you look in the world, you look in the sports world, like it's cool to be the goat. You know, what do I mean? Like, you look at football or basketball or hockey, and they will take a specific player like Michael Jordan. And they will literally call him the GOAT, meaning greatest of all time. And they call him the GOAT. They call Wayne Gretzky the GOAT. They call, you know, you name him, whatever that person is, they will label him that. And I'm like, well, what's wrong with goats? You know, like, sports world calls people goats. Why can't we be goats? But it's always backwards. The world does things backwards than what Christianity is supposed to be like. And why? And so I'm like, well, what's the difference between a goat and a sheep? You know, and I begin to learn, and I knew this for the most part, but there's a real big difference. And the reason why, in this particular passage, why Jesus has to separate them is because in the Middle East, many times, especially back then, the sheep and the goats would look very similar. And so it would take the shepherd's keen eye to begin to separate them. Because they're like, hey, you know, they're all just hanging out, doing their thing, eating. And he's like, whoa, wait. Okay, you guys get over here, and you guys come over here. Yeah, okay, there you are. And they would look alike, but their actions and their behavior were completely contrary. The sheep, as we know over the last couple of weeks, and as you know, is totally, solely dependent upon the shepherd. The goat is dependent on no one. The goat will follow no one. The goat is a rebel. You're not going to tell me what to do. Like, I'll bite your leg off. You know, like, they're vicious at times. They can, at best, they can be curious, and you're like, man, that's such a nice little curious goat. At worst, they could be destructive and chaotic and cause all kinds of damage. I've seen goats chew through fences in Mongolia. Like, they've literally, like, they'll eat everything. Like, they'll just rip things down, and they're like, oh, the shepherd or the goat herd's like, hey, come on, you know, come on. You know? They're like, bah, going this way. I could care less what you tell me. You know, that's kind of their attitude. And so sheep, we know that sheep are dumb. We know that sheep are good at drowning, as we learned last week. We know that sheep are defenseless. But the thing that is so beautiful about the sheep is that they are so utterly dependent upon the shepherd's voice. That when the shepherd begins to move, the sheep begins to move. When the shepherd stops, the sheep will stop and they will graze and they will eat. And it's just the difference between the sheep and the goats. Shepherds will protect their sheep from the environment. And goat herds will protect the environment from the goats. If we know somebody that's constantly pushy, that only wants to take, that somehow seems to destroy things that are placed into their hand, whether it's relationships or responsibilities or jobs or ministries, if they continually begin to destroy and wreak havoc on everything that's placed in their hands, they might just be a goat. A sheep is led by the shepherd, but a goat herd is led by his goats. That's messed up. He follows his goat. A goat will follow no one. And I think in the church at large, many times we use this, oh man, there's just wolves in sheep's clothing. There's wolves coming into the church trying to, you know, mess everything up. And sometimes there are wolves. I will say that. I have had to deal with a few wolves over the last few years. There's wolves. There are. And people with horrible demonic agendas. But that's little. It's little. I think for the major part, there's just sheep and goats. And so sometimes we label people as a wolf or we label people as demonic, but really they're not. They're not demonic. They're just a goat that just needs a changed heart. They're just a goat that needs a softened and transformed heart. Amen? And, you know, sheep are gentle and they have a very yielded spirit. We can choose to be led. We can choose to recognize our shepherd's voice, and we can choose to trust our shepherd's voice if we will submit to him. And I want to give you three things that will help you, because I believe that in the church, not just our church, in the church as a whole, and there's been seasons in my life where I can recognize, man, I'm acting like a goat. My attitude is pushy. My attitude is independent. I just want what's best for me, not what's best for him. I want my agenda to be accomplished, not his agenda. There's times in my life where I can look back and just say, God, I repent. Help me. You know, I want to be sensitive to you. I want to be led by you. I want to go where you're going. And you know, he's a good and faithful shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. Amen. But there's three things I think that if we can begin to do these things, it will help you and it will help me Because you're like, man, I'm a goat. Maybe you're sitting out there, man, I feel like I'm a goat. I feel like I'm independent. I feel like I buck authority all the time. I feel like I resist change. I resist when things are being put on me or being asked of me in loving ways. And that's okay. You're not a wolf. Maybe you just have some goat tendencies. But that's okay because you can change that. Yes. We can change that by the word of God. And I want to give you three easy things to begin to do on a daily basis that will begin to transform your life. Hallelujah. Number one, get in God's word every day. It sounds so simple. You're like, isn't it more complex than that? Like, no, seriously, just getting in the word will help us to be in tune with the shepherd. And so you can start with small plans. You can start with a good reading plan of the Bible. You can start with a verse of the day. You know, read your verse. Just get that verse inside of you every day. Or you can start with 5 minutes. You're like, I don't really have the capacity to read my Bible for 30 minutes. Okay, that's fine. Just read your Bible for 5 minutes every night before you go to bed, or 5 minutes after you wake up. Just start small and allow that to grow. And the more that we can get in the Word of God, the more that our spiritual heart and our spiritual eyes will be connected to our good, good shepherd. Amen? Amen? The more familiar you make yourself with the voice of the shepherd, the easier it will be to recognize it. And I think that's why a lot of times I've seen different people that maybe have just got saved, or different, you know, young ones in the Lord, and they just don't really have a love for the Word of God. And so they love Jesus, they love prayer maybe, but they don't love God's Word. And so something will happen, adversity will come, or trauma will come, or somebody will speak something into their life, and the first thing that comes, and they're gone. But when we know His voice, when we know the Word, we know His voice. Amen. Number two, take time to pray and worship. You're like, is this it? This is pretty basic. These are the keys to softening your heart. God is requiring a church and a bride with a soft and moldable and yielded heart. And I could take you back to when I was first a missionary, and there was still things in my heart that had to be worked on. And I felt like there was some pride, and there was some, I didn't want to, you know, budge in certain areas. And I recognized it. You know, the more you're around other Christians and the more you're around God, the more you begin to recognize things in your own life that need some change. And so I begin to say, I just need to pray. And I begin to wake up early, and I just begin to get in the Word of God, and I begin to pray, and I begin to intentionally worship. Just worship every day. And I didn't want to just worship just whatever. Like, I recognized that my heart needed to be, like, so sensitive to Him for the conditions that I was in, for the places that I was going, for the ministry that I was doing in prisons and going all over Mongolia and Asia. I needed to be spiritually sensitive to the voice of my shepherd. And so I just begin to worship, with different CDs, and I had a cassette Walkman. Come on now, somebody. So going back, I had a Walkman. I'd connect it to my belt, you know, I'd cruise around. Then I had a Discman. It was like killer, you know. It was a no skip Discman. You know, come on, like you could run and that baby wouldn't skip. It was awesome. You know, we've come a long way. I'm still. It was awesome. I love my no skip disc man. You know, and. But I would listen. I would listen to specific worship, and I got a hold of this CD, Jason Upton, and it was the Faith album. And another one called Jacob's Dreams. And I didn't know what to do, but I just put that thing on and I just began to worship. And that man, at that particular time, was just so tapped into the heart of God. He was such a worshiper, kind of a Keith Green of our time. And I just began to get lost in worship. Every morning, I would just put that on and just worship and worship. And I just began to notice that my heart began to get so sensitive to his heart. And I began to get so in tune with what he was doing and where he was going and what he was saying. And as I just got in the word and got into prayer and got into worship, I just saw real change in my heart and life, in my character, in my obedience to the shepherd, in my obedience to leaders in my life. You know, it was just like real character change happened the more I spent with him. It's just transformation. So good. Somebody say, so good. You don't even need a disc, man. Now we got like, come on, like you have everything. Like I remember going on a mission trip. You know, one of my first mission trips, I was in India, and on this side I got my disc, man, big bulky disc, man. On this side I have my awesome big camera. You know, it's like it's all bam. It's just this big thing that just locks onto your belt, and it's like boom, boom. It's just like all over the place, but now you have it all right here. You can make phone calls, you could text, you can listen to all of this amazing music, you could take pictures, you could take video. It's like, and yeah, and then I had a video camera too, so it's like, I had a video camera, I had a picture camera, I had my disc man. I, you know, going to like study and go places was just, it was a task, you know. But now it's like we have everything at our fingertips, and so there's really no excuse. Is my point. And you can get some of the best worship and some of the most anointed worship with just a download right now. Just go to YouTube and you can find some of the most incredible, prophetic, amazing worshipers around the globe. And you can just put in your earbuds and you can listen to that and just get caught up in just this amazing worship session. And and so I would encourage you to just begin to listen to some amazing, intimate, prophetic worship, and get lost into his presence. Get lost in captured by his love again, you know, and I just fall in love with him all over again. You know, I remember when I was 19, I truly like fell in love with Jesus. Like I just had this encounter, this just amazing love encounter with Jesus, and I fell in love with him, and I've always loved him, but then there's seasons where you get busy. You get busy with life, or you get busy with ministry, you get busy with work, you get busy with kids, whatever that thing is, we can get busy. And I just, you know, I just want to fall in love with him all over again. I just want to continually fall in love with him and love him the same way and even more than I did when I was 19 years old. You know, because it should get sweeter over time. It's supposed to get better over time. When I got married 10 years ago, I loved my wife with everything in me. I looked at her and Howard brought her to the altar and gave her away, and it was beautiful. And I was so madly in love with her. But I'm more in love with her now. Because we've walked life together. We've had to cry out for our daughter's life. We've endured things together. We've prayed together. We have history together now. And so it's sweeter. You know, and so as much as I loved Jesus then, I should be able to say, God, I love you more today. Like, I want to give you more of my heart today. I want to give you more of a sacrifice today. I want to give you more extravagant worship today. I don't want to, you know, and that was, just talk about Kathy, that was one thing I just loved about Kathy Wasdorp. You know, she was 70 years old, but she had the passion and the fire of a 20-year-old. And you know, I think that's what the Lord is calling us to do, is to have a passion like you're 20 when you're 70. You know, I think it should be a phrase. However old you are, if you're already 70, say 80. If you're 80, be 90. But let's just have a thing where we just say we're going to be better at 70. Or we're going to be better and more fiery and passionate at 80. We should be. We shouldn't just grow cold. We should be better. It should be like fine wine. And the older you get, the more your relationship develops with King Jesus, the greater it is. The more dependent upon the shepherd you become. And oh, he's good. He's a good, good father. But at the same time, you know, he's like so gangster. because he separates the sheep and the goats. He's like, I'm not going to deal with this anymore. I'm going to separate y'all because I can't have you mixing. I can't have the goats bucking and charging the sheep because the goats can be aggressive and they can literally hurt the sheep. And so he's like, boys, come on, you're going over here. Rip open some stuff over there. Sheep, you're here. And he says, and all these people, all these good religious folks are just saying, Jesus, well, we would have come to you if we knew you were in the hospital. We would have come. If I knew you were hungry, Jesus, I would have come. And that's a religious attitude. That's a religious attitude. That's not pure religion. And Jesus is saying, when you went to the least of these, you went to me. When you stopped and you took time for that person that was asking for money in front of Ons, you were visiting me. When you stopped to minister to that child, you were ministering to me. When you spoke to that prisoner, you were speaking to me. When you gave some advice and some hope and some prayer to that woman that's being abused by her husband, you were ministering to me. See, there's all kinds of stuff that's going on in our communities. And I feel like the Lord is just asking us and giving us the opportunity and the invitation to be his feet, to be his hands, to be the light of God once again in Bishop, in Mammoth, in Crowley, and beyond. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It's time. It's time that we let our light shine. Hallelujah. And so get in the Word daily. Begin to spend focused and intentional time in prayer and worship with prophetic, intimate worship. There's all kinds of stuff. If you need a list, talk to me. I'll give you some. You're like, I don't know what. I'll talk to me. Number three, and this is an important one. And Patrick, you can come up in just a moment. But number three is simply take time to listen. Take time to listen. You know, when life gets chaotic, when it gets confusing, and we don't know which road to take, which direction to go, what we need to do is just stop, be still, know that He is God, and listen. Because the Lord is always speaking. The Lord is always speaking. And so what is he saying to you when you begin to quiet yourself? What does he begin to say? There will be scriptures that will begin to come to your remembrance. And you're like, man, I don't know what to do. I'm feeling stressed out. I'm feeling the anxiety over this situation. Can you come, Patrick? And all of a sudden you begin to quiet yourself and the Lord begins to speak. And he'll never contradict his word, so just know that. But he's always going to speak to you. He will. He's a good father. He wants to speak to his sheep. And the thing that's also so beautiful about the sheep, the shepherd's relationship with the sheep, and especially in Israel and different places in the Middle East, that they will have names for their sheep. They know their sheep by name. That's Spotty, you know. That's Brownie, you know. There's by their color or by like a particular marking, they know their sheep and they'll call their sheep by name. He knows each and every one, and he knows when the one is missing. You know, if you just look at 99 sheep, how can you tell that one's missing? It looks like 100. He's like, it looks like perfectly good bunch of 100 right there. But he's like, no, yeah, there's Spotty, there's a short ear, but my favorite is missing. And he will run, and he will find the one that's been lost, and he'll find the one that's hungry, and he'll find the one that can't make his way back home. And he'll put him on his shoulders, and he'll march back into the fold, and he'll bring that sheep where the sheep can get refuge, the sheep can get comfort, the sheep can get healing. And that's what's so beautiful about the house of God. That's what I just love about the church as a whole worldwide is the church is a refuge. The church is a hospital. The church is an equipping center. The church is a family. And that we get to come together and we get to share each other's hearts, and we get to share our burdens with each other, and we get to pray for each other. We get to see God heal. We get to see God be glorified in the midst of hard situations. We get to see God sit on the throne. But sometimes we are not quieting ourselves. We're so busy in life. We're busy with work, and we're busy in the going, and we're busy in the doing, and we're busy with our task at hand. I feel like sometimes it's just as simple as just sitting down and listening. Even when we're praying, I honestly could tell you what there was a time when I just loved, I enjoy praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, but I'd get up and I begin to, it almost became a religious duty. And I would just pray in the Spirit, and I would just shout out my prayer list, and I would shout out the things that were in my heart and the things I wanted God to do and the things that I was expecting God to do. And I would never for a moment ask what was on God's heart. I would not for one second ask what was on His mind and have this dialogue and this relationship with Him. And the Lord challenged me on that. He said, Mike, would you speak to your wife and just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk? And then after I was done talking, just say, that was a great conversation. Let's do this again tomorrow morning. No, but a conversation goes back and forth. Mostly her. No, just kidding. Women like to talk. That's a good thing. But it's a back and forth. We have to communicate. We have to dialogue. We have to... One expresses their hearts, their fears, their frustrations, their feelings. And you listen. And then you begin to speak your heart. And it goes back and forth. And this is what we need in our walk with the Lord. The Lord is asking the body of Christ to not just be prayer warriors, but to listen. I think if we can listen, we would be more effective prayer warriors. And we would know exactly what to pray and how to pray. Because we are being led. I just want you to close your eyes. Sheep and goats. Lord, I pray right now that you would tenderize our hearts. That you would soften our hearts, Jesus. Lord, that we would be moldable, that we would be vulnerable to you and to the ones that you've put in our life. I pray, God, that we would be sensitive to the shepherd. And sensitive to your voice. God, teach us how to be led by you. And if there's any areas of our lives and hearts where we've been independent and where we've just wanted to do our own thing and where we've just, I'm just the, kind of the lone ranger, I just pray, God, that you would just soften those areas, that you would just begin to pour your love into those areas, and that you would begin to teach us in those areas, God, that your love is good, and that your ways are good. Father, we love you. I just pray right now just for just a softening of every heart in this room. All those that aren't in the room and all those that are listening online, I just pray for a softening in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we want to be led. When you go, we will go. When you stop, we will stop. When you say stop, this is your time. I've prepared this place for you. I've prepared the ground for you. I've uprooted the poisonous plants. I've uprooted the sharp rocks. This is a place where you can feast. This is a place where you can eat. This is a place where you can put roots down and you can be happy and you can thrive and you can grow. This is the place that the shepherd has prepared for you. And Father, I just pray that you would help us to see the places that you have prepared for us, that we would not be scared to begin to feast. We would not be scared to begin to put roots down, God, that we would be free and knowing that you're in control and knowing that you're not going to lead us astray. We just thank you for that, Lord Jesus. We thank you, God, for every person in this church, for every person represented. I just pray for grace upon every person here. Just the love of God to be shed upon all of our hearts and our families and our children in the mighty name of Jesus. We're just going to sing a song. And I just want you just for a few more moments and we'll wrap up. But I just want you just to focus on Jesus for a minute. And whatever that looks like, if you feel like you just need to be quiet and listen, that's fine. If you feel like you just want to worship along with, that's great. If you, whatever you need to do, I just want to give you the freedom to do that for a moment. But we're going to just worship. And I just really feel the Holy Spirit is here today. Jesus is here. And he's standing in the midst of us as the good and faithful shepherd. And if you've never made that decision to follow Jesus as your shepherd, now is the day. It's the best decision of your life.
are worthy, God. You are worthy, Lord. Look at all you've done. Look at all you give. Look at all you gave to us. I love you, Lord. I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound. May it be a sweet, sweet sound. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. May I be, may I be a sweet, sweet sound. May I be a sweet, sweet sound. May I be a sweet, sweet sound.
I just want to read this over you as we just wrap this up. You can just keep your eyes closed for a minute. Just receive. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Is the true shepherd. He's the good shepherd, and a good shepherd will bring protection, and a good shepherd will bring correction. It says, you protect me and you comfort me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod is to give the sheep a little nudge, like sometimes it's a little bump, like, hey, you're moving in the wrong direction. And so, God, I just pray that you would help us to not get offended when you give us a little bump, when you give us a little course correction, when you gently nudge our hearts and move us into a different direction. I pray that we would realize that it is the tender, loving care of a good shepherd that cares about our destiny and cares about our family and cares about our future. He uses the staff and the rod to bring protection for your life. Hallelujah. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's just sing that chorus one more time. And Father, we thank you that you're a good, good shepherd. We thank you that you're here. I just pray blessing over every family, over every marriage. God, I just pray we would be a people that are led by you in all areas of our life. And just like Psalm 23, that David could boldly declare, I will dwell in the house of the Lord always, all the days of my life. I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. And you're going to protect me no matter what I'm walking through. You're going to protect me. And so God, we just thank you that you're here today. Let's just sing that chorus one last time and we'll close. Hallelujah. Father.